Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mueller, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my guest, Andrew Lawrence, is the Deputy Director of Rapid Response at Media Matters for America. There is so much going on. There is so much to talk about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get two bonus What's Up episodes per week, kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever is on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Andrew Lawrence. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I accidentally just called you Lawrence.
It happens a lot. Yeah, you know, the two first names.
Oh, well, that's okay. We're going to have some fun today because there is so much going on. I mean, we're in Indictment Watch Week. And so that's what I want to start with, because, of course, that's what's on everyone's mind. We're hearing that Wednesday may be the day that Trump could be indicted.
I hadn't heard that. I was still waiting for today. And I know that, you know, really all that we were going off of for today was that Trump said it was going to happen today. But it sounds like it's actually going to happen, huh?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, have you been, I think it was last night I was watching, it might have been Chris Hayes. I don't know which one I was watching. But somebody was, there was a conservative lawyer, and she was saying, you know, after everything, she listened to everything and concluded that more than likely they would come down with an indictment, and it would, you know, of course it's hard to tell, but it looked like Wednesday. And I'm seeing Twitter, legal Twitter, calling it for Wednesday. So I'm not positive about this, but I'm just wondering what you think is going to happen. So I want, this is like two-pronged question. What do you think is going to happen to Trump when this happens? And, you know, there's a lot of expectation associated with it. So he gets indicted, then what happens? And then what do you think is going to happen with his supporters?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I am not a lawyer, you know, and so I don't know. And it's such uncharted water here for Donald Trump to actually be facing some sort of consequences. I mean, you know, let's be honest about this. The guy's not going to be rotting in jail or anything over this. And I think he's going to try to use this for his benefit. We've already seen him sending out many fundraising emails off of this. He's going to try to use it to rally his base of support. You know, and to get to your second question, what does it mean for his supporters? People talk about how this is just supporters will coalesce around him. They can't coalesce around him any more than they already have. You know, I don't see this making a huge difference, especially like in the primary. I think in the general election, if he ends up getting the nomination, I think it makes a big difference because people will know that he's been arrested, and they might not know for what, but they're going to know that he's been arrested. But for his supporters, it doesn't really matter all that much. I do find it interesting that he was calling for protests, and we haven't really been seeing that much at all, which I find really, really interesting.
Well, do you think that's because it hasn't happened yet? Like, maybe once he gets arrested, they'll show up?
I think there's some of that. I also think that, you know, with January 6th, we had a month and a half, you know, to hype this date up and to plan around it. You had all of the outside groups, America First, and all of his PACs, and Fox News was jumping in on that as well. And, you know, as far as the planning and the promotion of January 6th, and there isn't much time for this, I don't think. And I think, you know, to a large degree, I think that there's a lot of Trump fatigue, even among his base and among the Republican Party. I mean, you take a look at what happened with the January 6th defendants and the people that are being arrested and going to jail for 4, 5, 6 years. Trump's not fundraising to help their legal defense team. No. Trump isn't doing anything to defend these people other than trying to fundraise off of them for himself. And I have seen in some of the hardest Trump-supporting corners of the internet, and even on Fox News, Trump has gotten some criticism for his lack of support. And, at some point, these people have to realize that they don't want to go to jail for the host of Celebrity Apprentice.
Exactly. And I mean, we've seen a bunch of the insurrectionists go to jail. And so it doesn't matter that maybe Tucker or somebody is calling them political prisoners or whatever. Regular everyday people are like, yeah, well, you can call them what you want, but they're sitting in a jail cell and I don't want that for myself. And I do think that's going to play into this. But I posted on Twitter yesterday that I don't necessarily, whether it's this indictment or, you know, Fulton or any of the other indictments that are going to be coming down, which I believe there will be more, I don't believe we're going to be seeing insurrection style protests. I think we will probably be seeing groups of people across the country doing certain things. And, you know, fortunately, we've got different leadership now, so it will be handled differently. But that's my guess. I mean, if we're going to see violence, it's going to be, I think, throughout the country sporadically and not a lot of it. That's my guess. And I hope.
No, I think you're 100% right about that. And I also think that, you know, we have to tie in, for your listeners who aren't aware, Fox News is facing a giant defamation case right now from Dominion voting machines. And what that case is essentially revolving around is January 6th and the false election scheme and election fraud and all of that. Fox is staring $1.6 billion in damages right in the face right now because of that. And this is, they can't go full tilt right now. They just can't. And Fox News is such a propaganda machine, and it is where such a large percentage of the Republican base and where the Trump base gets their news from. And I mean, the Trump stuff right now on Fox News, I can tell you, and for your listeners, my job, I basically watch Fox News, so you don't have to. That's what I do. I work evenings, so I'm just fully immersed in Fox News primetime. Wow. And they really aren't defending Trump as much as they're going after the district attorney in New York right now, Bragg. And they're kind of, you know, Trump is almost non-existent in this. It's very much sort of just attacking the Democrats for political persecution and that type of thing. So it's really interesting. But, you know, I will also say stories like this, it takes them a few days, a week or so, to sort of coalesce around the talking point. I think they're sort of feeling that out right now as well. And again, like you said, we haven't yet actually had the arrest yet. So, you know, we'll see what happens when that comes. But I also see that, like, you know, right now, this is coming out in New York, you know, blue state, you know, you have the quote unquote Soros backed DA in there. I think the Fulton County, I think the Georgia one is a little bit more interesting. And I think that'll sort of make bigger waves as well. Coming out of a red state, it's, you know, what that's about is election denial and election fraud. And that one just feels like it could be a bigger story to me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I want to ask you about that. But before I do, of course, I did give your bio in the intro of this show. But you say you watch Fox News, so I don't have to. And I first want to say thank you.
<You're welcome.
laughs> But somebody who, I mean, I really mean that, because sometimes my father says to me, he's also liberal, he'll say, you know, do you watch Fox News? And I just say, well, I can't. I can watch the snippets on Twitter and I can read about it, but watching it is really difficult for me. So when I say thank you, I mean it. But when you're watching it, I mean, do you feel like, is it this, obviously it's your job, but does it affect you personally?
It does. I mean, there are, you know, I'll say that we build up calluses and media matters. And I think for the most part, you know, I just give you a sense of my job. I essentially quarterback our night shift, which is focused on mostly Fox News primetime, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Jesse Waters, sort of the big opinion house. And we have a team of, you know, it rotates from 5-6 people plus myself. And I've got a brilliant team. And for the most part, we have fun. There's a lot of gallows humor, kind of making fun of them a lot. But there are tough days too. I mean, I would say, you know, the after January 6th, the worst is when there's like a mass shooting and you just know, you know, I'm coming into work and the reports are, you know, 15, 20 kids in a school have been shot to death by some lunatic. And you come on and I know I got to sit there for the next 5 hours and watch Tucker Carlson say that, like, we need more guns is the actual answer. And then you have Laura Ingraham saying that, like, there's too many doors in schools and that's what's wrong. You know, anything but the guns, you know. And those are really, really tough days. And I think that, you know, what sort of gets us through it as a team is knowing that we're doing something. you know, that we're pushing back a little bit. I think that Fox News is incredibly influential, you know, whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. That is the case. They basically run the Republican Party. They have complete control over the Republican base. And so it really is important for people to sort of know what's going on there and what's being said. I can't tell you how many times during the Trump years I would see Tucker Carlson say something, and then the next day, the president of the United States is putting it into an executive order.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's important to sort of know where these things are coming from. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, that gets us through those really tough times as well, I think. You know, knowing that people are looking to us to sort of know what is being said without having to watch it, because you're right. It's hard to watch, and you know, I'm biased, but it's really bad TV too. It's really not super interesting or entertaining. So it can get a little bit grating that way as well. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting job. It's definitely an interesting job.
You know, I used to live, when I was 12 years old, my father worked for ABC News, and that offered me an opportunity to live in Soviet Russia. And so I was, I was 12, but I was aware of Pravda, and I was aware of the propaganda and all of that. And I understood it, and, you know, my brain was still developing, and I was still kind of processing the world, but I did understand it. And so when I look at Fox now, obviously that's what I see. But my question here, and I know it's very clear just talking to you, you understand reality and you're living in reality, and that's a good thing. But I think it was McKay Coppins did an article where he signed up on Facebook for like a far right, it was like a whole far right thing. So he followed Donald Trump, he followed all of the MAGA accounts and pages. And of course, then more would be suggested, so he would follow. And he wrote that, okay, he understands reality and he's based in reality, but he got sucked into this. It was like, even though he knew better, it was the constant repetition of the lies that he began questioning. Does that ever happen to you?
No, not to that degree. I mean, I think that we spend so much time outside of Fox News as well. I mean, part of our job is debunking what Fox News has to say.
Yeah.
But you know, I always thought it would be really interesting to just get your news from Fox News for a week or so and just see. I mean, right now, you know, if you just get your news from Fox News, you think the biggest story going on in the world right now is wokeness,
right?
You know, is cancel culture. And it really is. It's a different, it is a different reality that they're living in and that they're providing their viewers with over there. But it really, it gets into, it feeds into sort of that fear and that anger and that victimization, and it gets addicting. You know, it gets addicting to certain people. And, you know, I think Fox News, since they came around, I think they've been around for about 25 years now, maybe a little bit more. You know, one of the biggest things that they've done is just brainwash people into saying that, like, we are the only people that you can trust.
Yeah.
You can't trust MSNBC. You can't trust CNN. You can't trust anybody else. And, you know, if you turn on Tucker Carlson, and he's saying that wokeness is coming for you and your family, and it's a threat to your life, and he's the only one saying that, you're going to start thinking that, like, if I don't watch Fox News, I might die.
Right.
And like, I know that sounds hyperbolic, but it's, if you watch Fox News, almost every story that they give, it's, you know, the country is in jeopardy. Western civilization is crumbling because, you know, there was a black Little Mermaid or whatever it was. And it sounds so bizarre to us, but it really feeds into just sort of that primal instinct of like fear and victimization. And I can see how it can be very addicting to certain segments of the population, for sure.
Wow, man, that would really be difficult. And again, thank you.
Like I said, thank God for my coworkers.
Yeah.
You know, we do try to have as much fun as we possibly can with it. And it's that sense that it is important for you, Kimberly, to know what's going on Fox News,
right?
But you should not want to watch that for 4 hours a night, you know?
So to counter that, obviously there's Media Matters, and of course that is a wonderful publication, and so many of us are aware of it. But what other publications, where else do you get your news, your real news, not the propaganda news?
Well, you know, I get asked that all the time, and that's a tough question for me to answer, because I'm lucky enough to where I do work at Media Matters, and we are bombarding each other with news articles from all across the spectrum, 24 hours a day. So, I mean, if I miss one day of work, I've got 600 unread emails. Wow. And a lot of it, so, you know, it's, you sort of develop this media literacy where, mm-hmm. where you understand that, you know, the difference between an opinion, you know, the New York Times opinion piece is going to be different than something Nick Confessori writes, you know, a real journalist. And you sort of start picking that up. I like the New York Times. I have huge issues with some of the New York Times coverage as well, especially on trans issues and things like that recently. And it's you just sort of – it's that media literacy. You know, you have to understand your sources. You have to understand – you have to look at who they are sourcing. Who is the New York Times talking to? Why is this outlet only talking to oil executives and not climate activists, you know, that type of thing. And you sort of learn to look for that. But it's really difficult. It's really difficult. And I think that, like, just the profit motive in news media right now is really, it's making it difficult to sort of trust almost anybody. I mean, so many different outlets are doing this just for the clicks. And I have outlets, I guess, that I trust and authors that I trust, but it's not like I am always very, very skeptical of almost anything I read. And I think most people should try to look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's like, obviously there's some great articles in the Times when it's straight up journalism and it's not just mm-hmm. opinion, because they do have conservative opinion writers. So, and I think that's necessary, but it's important to understand the differentiation. You definitely need to know that difference. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I have a variety of people who I trust, but then, you know, each publication, it's going to depend on, you know, who's writing it, is it opinion, etc. So I mm-hmm. will say, though, that the difference between these kinds of public, like whether it's the New York Times or Washington Post or Atlantic or anything, if they mess up, they will say, hey, we messed up, whereas the mm-hmm. right wing will not. They will just
and many times they'll just double down. Yeah. I mean, I have such a good example of this, and it's really gross, but I don't know if you remember, but when Roe was first overturned, there was the story of the 10-year-old girl who was impregnated by rape in Ohio and had to travel, I think it was to Illinois, to get an abortion. Mm-hmm. And Fox News host Jesse Waters, who just got a promotion there, he's got his own hour now at 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. Was saying that the story wasn't true, that the girl didn't exist, that it was all just a huge lie by activists who were just trying to get publicity, all this type of stuff, just saying it was a straight up lie. A few days later, and this started percolating within right-wing media as well. I would say Jesse Waters was the biggest leader of it, though. A few days later, it came out that it actually was true. And the girl's name, I don't think, was ever released, but there were official police reports, that type of stuff, that all came out. Jesse Waters took credit at that point for it being proven as being true. He didn't apologize for lying, for saying that it didn't exist. He took credit for the story being – for the police reports being put out there. And it's such a good example of what they do. And I think they really learned this from Donald Trump. You never apologize. You never back down. You never say that you were wrong. Before Donald Trump, it wasn't often, but every once in a while, Fox News would issue an on-air correction for something that they got wrong. I could not tell you the last time that is. I don't think I've seen that in. I've been at Media Matters for 7 years now. It definitely not since Trump. And it's just there's part of that mentality where you just never apologize, you never back down, and you just never admit you were wrong. Yeah. And the thing is, they've created this bubble now, this conservative media bubble, where their readers aren't going to know. Their readers aren't going to know that they were wrong because they don't go outside that bubble. And even if they do, even if MSNBC or CNN points out that Fox News is wrong, and they you know, have a nice package and they do it with numbers and facts and it's highly sourced, Fox News was wrong, they're not going to believe it still. They still will not believe it because of this brainwashing effect that conservative media has on their viewers.
Wow. It's so sad. It's just so
sad. It is. Yeah, it's frustrating. It can definitely be frustrating.
You know what? We have to take a quick break, but we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly. If you're not already my patron, just visit patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the tiers and decide how you want to support the show. Thank you so much. Okay, we are back. And you know what? I want to ask you. I said I was going to, and now I am. So there is a article coming out, just came out, CNN. So It passed in the Georgia. It's a Georgia legislature considered a bill to remove prosecutors. So basically, it's guaranteed that Fani Willis will be removed and the Trump investigation will be quashed if Brian Kemp signs this into law. So are you familiar with this and what do you think is going to happen?
I am not. It sounds like it's so fascinating because you know the entire Republican Party just wants to be done with Trump.
Yeah.
They just want to. But something like this, my guess is that Kemp will squash it because they are scared to death of that base, of that Trump base, that Republican base. And this is the first that I have heard of that. That's really interesting though.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I retweeted it in case you want to look it up, but that's kind of worrying me. So now, I mean, let's just go on the assumption then that this is not happening and indictments are coming now or whatever from Georgia. So as you mentioned, that's going to be quite interesting and it's going to have more weight than this thing that's happening in the Stormy Daniels case. It's a little heavier. So my question to you on this one is kind of the same. Now, do you think that what do you think the difference would be if he gets indicted for, and I guess this would be obstruction or intimidation or something like that. I don't know what the legal terms are and what the specific charge would be. So maybe you know that, but yeah,
there was something about defrauding an American election system,
right,
okay. or something like that. Okay. It's all very complicated.
Yeah, and I know that one juror had said it's like going to be a big deal and everything. So there that's got more weight. So yeah, how do you think that's going to go down?
It's just going to be. I just feel like it's going to be the same that we've seen. You know, it's going to be everybody sort of rushing into their corners on the Republican side. They're going to, you know, call it a witch hunt and a hoax and ignore everything. And they're going to rally to Donald Trump's side and nothing will happen to him, you know. And this feels much more serious and it feels like Trump's legally in much more jeopardy than he's ever been in his life, but he always wriggles his way out of this stuff, you know. And now the fact that it is in Georgia and it's, you know, the executive branch for sure is very red, and you know, I know it's sort of a purple state at this point, but he's got a bunch of allies there, and they are terrified of him, and they're terrified of what he can do as far as like rallying his base to go after them. But then, you know, you take a look at Kemp, and Trump tried to do that in Kemp's election. He tried to get I forget who it was, I think it was David Perdue maybe. He tried to get him to win the primary there and couldn't do it. I mean, Kemp destroyed all challengers there. So, you know, they are terrified of what Donald Trump can do with the base of the Republican Party. But it feels like he's just a paper tiger, and they're just scared of taking him on. And if just one of them would stand up to him, I mean, you take a look at Ron DeSantis. Why is he so scared of Trump? He can hardly criticize Donald Trump. Why? Like, that is what they want. I feel like Ron DeSantis could take over the entire Republican base if he could just take on Donald Trump, but he's too much of a coward to do it. None of them will do it. I don't know. I don't see much changing until then. So I don't know. We'll see. The Georgia one is very, very interesting. It just feels like that has a lot more teeth in it than the New York one. And I think that, you know, when you just take a look at the charges, like, I know that New York, you know, what we're actually talking about here is tax fraud and election fraud and all that. But I think generally the American public looks at it as paying off a mistress to be quiet.
Yes.
And while that's awful, I think most people would look past that at this point after everything that this country has been through. But, you know, the Georgia stuff, especially with it tying to the election fraud and to the ties to January 6th and all of that, it feels like the general public would hurt Trump a lot more with the general public than the New York one, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it truly is interesting. And obviously there's a whole bunch of possibility of indictments. What I maintain and what I will continue to maintain is I do believe he's going to be indicted, and there is a chance that he, you know, the people who are going to go after him are not going to go after him unless they think they can win. So mm-hmm. I think there is a decent chance that he could, you know, actually, I don't think he's going to go to jail. If he's ever convicted, I think he would probably experience house arrest. I just don't see him going to jail.
It would be funny if he did go to jail.
Oh,
though.
That would be awesome. But I wish we could do that as a country, but I just don't see that happening. And I'd love to be proven wrong on. I'll love that. But I just don't know. But this takes me to the there's the Dominion lawsuit against Fox. Mm-hmm. But then recently a judge gave the go ahead for, I believe it was SmartLink, to sue Fox for $2.7 billion. But then
Smartmatic,
thank you. And then I think I wrote Smartmatic and then my thing changed it to SmartLink. Okay. I know, because it always reminds me, you're probably not as old as I am, but there was the something O-matic on Saturday Night Live back in the day, like, what was it? The something O-matic. You probably don't remember, so I'm just
going to Chop-O-matic,
something like that. Yeah, where he put the whole fish in. It was so gross. Okay, anyway, I just went off on a tangent. So there is something that has come down today, a story about, let me find it. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So a Fox News producer is now also suing Fox. And this person worked for Maria Bartiromo and Tucker Carlson. Am I saying her name right?
Yes.
Bartiromo. Yep. Just because it says lawyers forced for the Dominion thing, lawyers forced her to give misleading testimony. So mm-hmm. there's that. But then there was also, she was describing a really misogynistic, disgusting workplace, which surprises nobody. But I mm-hmm. want to know, what do you think is, I mean, okay, let's just, there's the Dominion one, and that's civil. And likely if Dominion wins, you know, and they have to pay, Rupert Murdoch has to pay some money, it's not going to really affect Fox News. It's going to hurt, it'll be embarrassing, whatever, but in the end, their base is there, and they're going to keep going, and he's got billions of dollars, so he can afford it. But now we've got these other two lawsuits, and we don't know what's coming in the future. Do you think Fox News is really at risk and in trouble?
I really do. And I think that, like, I would push back on you a couple of things that you just said about the Dominion thing. I think that, you know, look, first of all, Fox News is looking at $1.6 billion in damages is what Dominion is suing for. And you know, without getting into the nitty gritty of it, a defamation case is really hard to prove. But everything that I've read shows that they have proven, like, the Fox News knew what they were doing when they defamed Dominion lawsuits. And I think that, you know, Rupert Murdoch is a billionaire many, many times over. Mm-hmm. $1.6 billion is going to get your attention, I think. You know, it's, you know, one thing about these rich guys is, like, it's all about green, you know, it's all about dollars and cents. And I think if they get fined $1.6 billion, and that's just the damages, that's not punitive either, which could be billions more, judging from what I've read. So that'll get your attention. But I also think that when you take a look at what's come out with this Dominion case and the evidence that's coming out, I think that, you know, Tucker Carlson admitted numerous times in text messages that were revealed that he is lying to his viewers. And he is tricking them into watching his show by telling them exactly what they want to hear so that it helps his boss's stock prices. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, stuff like that, he showed a lot of contempt for his viewers. You know, one of his producers said that their viewers were cousin fucking terrorists. And that's a quote. Wow. Let's see, that's what he said. That level of contempt for your viewers, I think, is going to make a real mark. Like, I think that really, really hurts. And, you know, there's more and more coming out. I think this, you know, they're just putting up with so much from Tucker Carlson, and for what, you know, really for what? The guy's getting, he gets 3 million viewers a night. That's 1% of the American population. He doesn't have, I say this a lot among coworkers and other interviewers, people think that Tucker Carlson has this massive amount of influence, and he doesn't. Fox News is the one with the influence. Mm-hmm. That Fox News 8 to 9 o'clock PM hour is incredibly powerful. And if you think back to when it was Bill O'Reilly there, from 8 to 9 o'clock, he was the most powerful man in media for a couple of decades. And when's the last time you even thought about
it?
You know, because he's gone. He is no longer on Fox News. The exact same thing would happen with Tucker Carlson.
Yes.
So, you know, I think you take away the possible defamation fines, Smartmatic as well. You know, that could end up costing them a ton of money as well. You take all that away, and I think the reputational damage of Tucker Carlson that was revealed in those text messages, I think really hurts him with his viewers. And, you know, I spend a lot of time, given what I do, I tweet a lot about Fox News and Tucker Carlson, and I have his defenders in my mentions all day, every day. And what they like about him is that, I'm just telling you what they say, you know, what they like about him is that he says what nobody else will say. He always tells them the truth. The libs are scared of him because he's telling the truth and he says things that you're not allowed to say. And that is all just blown up right in their face. I mean, any time I have a Tucker Carlson troll come into my mentions now, I can just reply with a screenshot of his producer calling them a cousin fucking terrorist. And and so how are you going to, you know, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. I'm not going online anymore, like defending these people. How can you sit there and watch them in good faith, knowing that they're lying to you, and then they hate you, and that they're just trying to trick you into watching their show so they get more money. You know, it's so I think that's where the real danger is for Fox News, is the sort of more the PR stuff than the money stuff, really.
That's a good point, and I agree with you. I did see, and I don't remember where, it was on Twitter somewhere, but I saw that the numbers, I think it's like the people who are not trusting Fox News, or they're losing, you know, they're losing trust from their viewers. So I guess that's a good thing. And
it was, you know, like 20%, you know, one out of five Fox viewers trusts Fox less. And that's after, this is only after a week of it. You know, there is still, we have a trial coming in April as well. All this Dominion stuff that's coming out right now is just to determine whether or not there should be a trial.
Right.
We are having a trial, and it's going to go for a couple of weeks. Wow. And it's going to be, you're going to have these people on the witness stand. You're going to have Fox executives on the witness stand, and they're going to have to sit there and they're going to have to admit that they lied to their viewers to trick them into watching so that they can buy a third yacht.
That's going to really hurt them. And I'm really glad.
Yes, me too. I hope it does. I mean, I really hope it does, because it is, you know, the stuff that Fox News is pushing and, what they've done to the country is a malevolent force that really needs to be stopped.
Yes, it absolutely. And I did remember the name. It was Bass-O-Matic. That's the fish. The Bass-O-Matic. Okay. So yes, I am a hardcore Gen Xer. Okay. Now, I want to switch it over to this whole fucking bullshit about wokeness. And you know, I saw you posted something, and we know that, and it was a conversation with people on Fox just being stupid about wokeness. And then of course there was the recent Bethany Mandel, who went viral because she couldn't define wokeness, even though she wrote a book about it. And although here's the thing, the conservative the new definition by conservatives is just made up. It's what they want it to be. And then they don't even know how to define it because they all haven't talked amongst themselves. But,
I can give you the actual conservative definition of wokeness is anything that's not white, straight, or male.
Yeah.
But they can't say that. They can't come out and say that, you know? So they come out here and they hem and they haw. And, you know, there was the tweet last night that you're referring to. It was Dana Perino, George Bush's former press secretary, was sitting there saying that you can't define wokeness, you know, that it's sort of a vibe, you know, it's kind of a sense that you get, you know, and it's that's true. You know, it's when they get upset that there's a black actress is playing the Little Mermaid.
Right.
You know, they just know there's something wrong with it. They can't quite put their finger on it, you know, but they don't really know why. They can't really say why in public, but they know that there's something wrong with that. And that's sort of the wokeness. And, you know, you see with the Bethany Mandel thing last week, she can't come out and say that that, like, well, it's gay people existing. That's what, you know, it's a gay character in a movie is wokeness. They can't really say that. And they're trying to, you're seeing a lot of conservatives on Twitter trying to give this very academic response in this definition, but like that doesn't apply when they're complaining that M&Ms aren't fuckable anymore, you know, that you can't have sex with, that I don't want to sleep with this M&M because it's too woke. Well, like, your definition of X, Y, or Z doesn't apply to this. We all know what it is. We all know what it is, and they just can't say it. Oh, you know, God. They can't say it. And I think that tells you pretty much everything that you need to know. And it's also, they have staked so much of their political identity to being anti-woke. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw the USA Today poll that came out, I think it was last week,
yes,
where the overwhelming mm-hmm. majority of the American public has a positive reaction to the word woke. Mm-hmm. And they know that it, you know, the definition of woke is just sort of understanding that there are oppressive systematic injustices that exist and that impact the way that we see the world, the way that the world sees us. And that's essentially all it is. And that's the way the majority of the American public looks at it.
Yeah.
But you have, you know, conservative media and the Republican Party, they're making it their entire existence for being right now. And they don't understand how weird it looks to people who aren't just immersed in that mm-hmm. weird culture of conservative media, that aren't listening to Charlie Kirk podcast every single day and then going home and throwing on Tucker Carlson and then, you know, going to the Steve Bannon's podcast. And anyone who's not doing that, their obsession with woke just comes off as just weird and cranky. And it sounds like you're just complaining about the kids these days. It's fascinating. They're just running themselves around in circles. And it's really interesting.
Well, I want to read here. It's on Twitter. I hope I said this right. Lana Quest, aka Rosa Sparks. Okay, that's the name of this person on Twitter. And she wrote, the term woke was created by black people referring to being alert to a systemic racial injustices. The first documented use of the phrase stay woke happened in the 1930s when Lead Belly ended his song advising blacks traveling mm-hmm. through Alabama to stay woke. Now, I think the real easy way out for Republicans is to they can't explain CRT either.
Right.
but it's like all they have to say about woke is say it's taking political correctness too far. I mean, it's the same bullshit they have with mm-hmm. cancel culture. You know,
yeah.
It's like it's the same thing. But it's like I think that's what they think it is. It's taking political correctness too far. And, you know, I mean, there are I'm trying to think. I think it was the dictionary, Webster's. Maybe it was Webster's. But they came up with words that we shouldn't be using anymore. And mm-hmm. I think one of them was American, basically because it sounds elitist. That was kind mm-hmm. of the gist of it, which now I think that's. I mean, how do you even describe? You don't call. What are you supposed to call us? You
right.
know. I mean, I don't know what to right. call us if we're not Americans. I know there's a South America and there's a North America and all that. There's, you know, but in South America there's Brazil and you're Brazilian and all of that. So I don't know what. But so I do think maybe that's going a little bit too far. But that's where I see the Republicans, where they could easily just say, "Oh, it's just taking political." It's just more.
But,
it's today's version of the political correctness.
Oh, totally. And we have been having this fight for decades.
Yes.
I mean, there are, you know, I don't know if you remember the movie PCU with Jeremy Piven and
I remember,
David
but I didn't
Spade.
See it. Yeah.
That movie's like 30 years old. And it's all about like political correctness run amok on college campus. This is the same thing that we've been talking about for decades. And it was a huge part of Donald Trump's mm-hmm. first presidential run in 15 was political correctness run amok. And this is it. You know, it's just been rebranded. And I think you're like they're trying to turn it into legislation now. And that's why you see like the CRT stuff,
yeah.
The drag race bans. All of that type of stuff, and they're trying to put like a new veneer on it. And I think the reason why is so that they can legislate it away. Mm-hmm. But you're like when you start breaking this stuff down, it looks ridiculous. And you're right; there are definitely examples of people taking this type of thing too far. And I mean, look, I'm a straight white guy. You know, I'm not going to tell somebody how they should feel about you know what's being called what.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't. Those examples are so few and far between
right. yeah.
that it just it looks weird when you make this your entire political identity, like conservative media and the Republican Party have done. This is the only reason that like Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Donald Trump, it's the only reason that they've given so far of why they're running for president.
Yeah.
And the overwhelming majority of Americans do not care, could not care less. And it just sounds really, really weird. And this is the type of thing where you have to subscribe to all of these right-wing conservative media talking points in order to win a primary in the Republican Party. But if you do that, you're going to look really, really weird to the rest of the country. And I mean, you saw that in Pennsylvania with Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
You saw that with Carrie Lake in Arizona. I'm not going to put that all on Herschel Walker because he had his other things going on. But it's costing the Republican Party. It just is. And this adherence to conservative media and the people that are consumed with conservative media and simply pandering to them on every single issue is causing the Republican Party elections.
Yes, and this is going to lead me to the last question that I have. And I mean, you're actually making me feel excited now because the point that you made about the damage that Fox News is going to go through, because there's damage now, but there's more damage to come. And, you know, who knows if more people are going to sue? Who knows if more people are going to come out with, you know, secrets that we suspected it, but we haven't heard it. That would be fucking great. So my question here is like, you know, now I want to just throw in there. An article came out today. Idaho hospital will stop delivering babies as doctors flee state due to abortion ban. Near total ban on abortion is driving doctors away. And it says the hospital's leadership said that the decision to eliminate the obstetrics unit, I can't talk, is stemmed from the political climate in Idaho. So, okay, we've got wokeness, we've got CRT, we've got abortion bans, book bans. You're not allowed to even look at a trans person or talk about somebody who's in drag. I mean, they're just going hardcore fascist extremist. Mm-hmm. And then you add to it what's happening at Fox News. And so I asked this question with lots of hope, and I don't know how you're going to answer it, but what do you feel about the general direction this country is headed in as we go into 2024?
It is, you know, I feel like we are sort of at a crossroads right now. You know, and I think that, look, it's no secret. The Republicans cannot win national elections. I think they've won the popular vote once out of the last 9 presidential elections. And it's just, I don't think this type of stuff plays. Like, I just don't. I think that when, you know, you have Joe Biden can go out there and talk about insulin prices being capped at $35 across the board. He can talk about the Inflation Reduction Act. He can talk about all this legislation that he's passed. He can go out there and he can brag about it and talk about it. He can point back to the Trump years and say, you don't want to go back there. Remember how absolutely insane that was, all that type of stuff. And then on the other side, you're going to have Ron DeSantis talking about drag brunches, you know. Yeah. And so I think, you know, I still have hope in the American public that they'll sort of see those two things and choose the right way. But I've been wrong about that before in 2016, for example.
Too.
I didn't think
Me
there
too.
Was any way that Trump would win. But I think people are sick of it. I think people want their elected leaders to take on real issues. And I just think that the Republican Party is just too immersed in that weird clickbaity type conservative media bubble that they'll really be able to appeal outside of that. You know, I think, look, the Democrats are facing a very tough electoral map in the Senate in 24.
Yeah.
They do not have very many pickup opportunities, and they have some red state senators that are up for re-election. Sherrod Brown and John Tester are the first two that come to mind. And those are two incredible senators. And I try not to be a fan of politicians too much, but I like both of those guys. And I think it's very important for them to continue serving. And, you know, I wish them well. But those are going to be really tough races in very tough states. And so, you know, I guess we'll see. I still do have faith in the American public that when given these types of choices, that they'll make the right choice.
Yeah. And I'll go with the fact that, you know, I mean, I got it wrong too. I thought Hillary Clinton would win. But the difference is now that we've seen, you know, Trump was new. That was new to us, and it isn't new anymore. And he's lost. He lost every election, and I'm not just counting the ones he was participating in, but it was 2017, right. 2018, 2020, 2022. I mean, all the elections, you know, there's a few of them that, yeah, okay, Republicans won, but basically because of him, Republicans have been losing, and obviously they lost bigly.
You take a look at the midterms when Trump was president, the presidential election, and the most recent midterms. Republicans should have won a bunch of this. They should have a 40-seat majority in the House right now, and instead it's like 5-10. I'm not sure the exact number, but they actually got shellacked in the midterm. They should have the Senate as well, and they don't. And it's a real question of, when does the Republican Party get sick of this as well? When do they get sick of losing? And I mean, on some issues, they're going to have to admit the libs are right. And I don't think that they're capable of doing that.
No, but I think the best we can hope for at this point is, like you're talking about, fatigue and apathy, where they're just, they can't be bothered. If they don't feel that their savior hero Tucker Carlson on Fox News can be trusted, and if Trump is getting indicted all over the place, and you know, and they're finding out that, you know, whatever comes out about him, it's just going to peel off more of that base and make it harder. Yeah, you're right that I think Democrats would be very smart to focus on the state level, the state legislatures, and just all the local, because school boards are so important with QAnon parents getting in now. Republicans have been focusing on the individual states for decades, and Democrats really have not. So that is something I hope that we do. And I have hope. From where we are right now, I feel hopeful, because I do see that Republicans are basically eating themselves up a lot. I mean, they're doing themselves in. But I wish that Democrats would be a little bit more proactive. And I don't just mean the leadership. I mean voters, you know, would be a little bit more proactive.
I agree. And I think that, you know, I think one of the issues in 2016, and I've worked in politics for a while, I've seen this happen on numerous races, is you have to give people a reason to vote for you, not just a reason to not vote for the other guy. And I would like to see the Democratic Party, and don't get me wrong, they have legislative successes that they can tout. But I think it needs to be more of a constant drumbeat. I think that reproductive rights is just something we should be hearing every single day from them, and we hear it a lot. You know, I don't want to say that they're silent on that. But I feel like that there's always more that we could be doing there, and that's just one example. And I agree with you. I do worry about apathy from the Democratic voter side as well. But I think that, you know, we have seen some of the horrors. The Trump years were traumatic.
Yeah.
And now with the Supreme Court decisions, and you know, I think a lot of the country sort of tuned into what Ron DeSantis is doing. If Trump doesn't get the nomination, it'll probably be DeSantis. And I think a lot of the country is pretty horrified by what they're seeing there. And I think, you know, eventually the Republican Party is going to have to make a choice. You know, is it more important for us to win majorities, or are we just trying to get our faces on Fox News and trying to sell books and trying to get people to listen to our podcasts? And right now it feels like the Republican Party doesn't care so much about winning majorities. And I think that's when they get really dangerous, because that's when we start seeing they don't care about democracy anymore. They don't care about winning more votes. And at that point, then they get really extreme. So I think it's sort of a crossroads for them as well.
Wow. Well, it sure will be interesting, won't it?
It will. It'll definitely be interesting.
And also, so will this week, because I do think we're going to see an indictment. I do agree with you that it's probably just going to be, you know, it's not going to be that exciting. I mean, he's going to get fingerprinted, and we'll have it on record and all of that. But then he's just going to go back to Mar-a-Lago and bitch on Truth Social. So, exactly. You know, it's just going to be the same.
That's exactly what will happen.
Well, it was really interesting talking to you. And I just want to say, obviously, we have not met before, but this was the first time I got to even, you know anything about you. And I really like your energy. You have a very positive and interesting energy. So I want to just say that. And I want to say thank you for coming on the show. Let you go, though, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, I would say the best place to find me would be on Twitter. And if you just search for Andrew Lawrence, I have a baby as my profile picture. It's actually me when I used to have hair. Aww. So, that's the best place to find me. And then I would recommend, look, like I said, I think it's really important to keep up to date with what is being said on Fox News, because they have so much influence. So I'd point people to our website, mediamatters.org. Lots of fact checks, clips. It's a really great resource to sort of understand what's being said on the other side without actually having to immerse yourself in it for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And yes, I'm sure my audience is absolutely familiar with Media Matters. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter, author Kimberly, L-E-Y. You can find me on Spoutable with my name, Kimberly Johnson, again, L-E-Y at the end. And my books are on Amazon. It was just so fun talking to you once again, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was great. And I appreciate the kind words. And I'd love this to love the chance to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. You will return.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Bye-bye.